I read in the Bible of a very wicked time, what they call the pre-Andaluvian age. Draws a close parallel with our day. But there was a man by the name of Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the reason I'm here tonight is I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I thought as the choir was singing so beautifully, and if that don't kind of singing don't move you, something's wrong with you. I thought as they're singing so beautifully, saved to the uttermost. An old time preacher, he's gone now, but he was one of the best of that type preachers with healing ministry, Brother Jack Cole. Brother Jack Cole preached a message on from the uttermost to the guttermost. And I don't know where you came from, but all of us were sinners. Everyone that can stand and say you're saved, you was one time a sinner. And the reason you can stand tonight is and say you're saved, it is by nothing good that you have done, but you have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. There was a man by the name of Napoleon, the general that we're all, most all of us are familiar with. They tell me that he found out in his army there had a, he had another man by the name of Napoleon in his army. And this man was of low character. Steal, do many things that were not ethical for a soldier to do. And according to what I've heard, Napoleon called this man in for reckoning and said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Napoleon, same as yours." He said, "All right, the reason I've called you in here, I understand you are a man of low character." And he began to enumerate the things that this man was guilty of. He said, "The reason I have called you in here, you either change your ways or change your name." And there are so many that go by the name of Christian. I wish some of them would either change their ways or change their name, don't you? Preferably that you change your ways. They were called Christians first at Antioch. All right, we want to get right into the preaching of the Word of God. We've been praying today. And oh, when I see this beautiful congregation here, thrills me to be in your midst. And yet it's such an awesome thing to think that each one of us is only a vehicle carrying an eternal, immortal soul that's going to live on somewhere in eternity. And the awesome responsibility that rests upon my shoulders tonight as a messenger, as one more man that may stand between you and eternity. Oh, how fearful it is to think that someone right in this congregation may let this opportunity go by, my brother, and end up in an eternal burning hell. It's fearful. While we rejoice in the fact that we are saved, it is so fearful to realize that there are some who are not saved. My Lord. I was praying today, asking God to direct me in my preaching here. Hallelujah. And it seems so strange that the Lord sometimes leads in areas that you don't think is correct. I remember one time preaching in Tehachapi, California. We were running revival there in my early ministry and up in the mountains right out of Bakersfield, California. Snowstorms can come up quickly. And during the course of our revival, looked out the window about 4 o'clock and snow was falling, soon covered the ground, and several inches of snow. I asked the pastor, I said, will we have service? And he said, well, we'll go and if we can get there and see if anyone else will show up. Well, earlier that morning before the snow had started falling, I'd been praying and looking into the Word of God, and I determined that the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to preach on a very familiar subject in that day, but very unfamiliar in this day. The Lord wanted me to preach on there is an eternal burning hell. When that snow began to fall and the pastor and I and his wife got in the car and made our way to the church, and we waited and waited and waited, and at service time, 10 people, including the pastor, my wife, his wife, and myself, 7 other people beside us there in the congregation, I started thumbing through this book trying to find something else to preach. Oh yes, because that was the best that he had to come out in that storm. And they didn't need to hear a message, I didn't think, on the eternal burning hell. And so I kept thumbing through this book. And finally, when preaching time came, I went to the pulpit. And it seemed that the Spirit spoke to me again and said, remember this morning when you was praying, I told you to preach about hell and how eternal it is, how lasting it is, that it's forever and ever and ever. I said, yes, Lord. I opened up my Bible and I went to preaching on hell. I preached like that little congregation that every one of them were lost and going there. At the conclusion of my message, I just opened the altars. We came in and prayed maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And everyone left and went home. And I went home wondering why I preached that message. 2 nights later, a man came into our congregation well-dressed, listened to the service and the message. At the conclusion of the message in the altar service, when I opened the altar for sinners, he came and gave his heart to the Lord. He left. After they found out that he was only visiting in the city, he left. But the next night he came back and he said, I had been to the tavern down the street a few nights ago and said it was snowing. And I was coming back by this church, going back to my hotel room. And he said, the snow was so heavy I stopped under the awning of this church. And I heard a preacher preaching about an eternal burning hell. And he said, I went to my room, but I could not sleep until I came to this place and made peace with God. So I'm determined that I make mistakes and you make mistakes, but God does not make mistakes. Hallelujah. If God said it, it will come to pass. If it's in this book, not one jot nor tittle will pass away till all be fulfilled. If the message is a true message from God, whether it be in tongues and interpretation, prophecy, or the ministry of the Word, if it is a true message from God, you can rest assured it will come to pass. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And I'll do my best to minister to you what the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And he drank of the brook. But I cannot stop there. I must read the next verse to get my text. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. And it came to pass that after a while the brook dried up. I want to read from Job, the first chapter, quickly. Job chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bible readers and those that are familiar with the Word of God knows that this particular time of the scripture setting of Elijah, that Israel was under the rule of that wicked king Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. The Bible said there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, which his wicked wife Jezebel stirred up. But thundering out of the hills comes a prophet. He has a message, and his message is a message of doom. And because of the wickedness and evil of that day, this prophet said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the Lord said unto him, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, or Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Had quite a setup for his man, didn't he? Amen. You're going to be a victim of the sins of your people. Oh, yes. We have the privilege of laughing with those that laugh. But we also, with that privilege, comes the fact that we must mourn with those that mourn. Some say, why do we good people have to suffer? Because we are living in a world that's under the curse of sin. So we get to rejoice with those that rejoice, but we must weep with them that weep. And so this prophet, amen, he was a victim of the sins of his people. Therefore, God says, there's not going to be food around here. There's not going to be water here. But I've got a setup for you, Elijah. I want you to go down and check in at the Hotel Cherith. Or maybe I should say the Brook Cherith. And I've got some ravens that's going to bring you bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and you're going to drink out of that brook. I believe this was congenial to the prophet. Being an outdoorsman, it was just right for him. Amen. Get up every morning, go down and wash his face and hands in that rippling brook. Amen. Stretch himself and say, well, God is faithful, and in a little while, ravens will be here with my breakfast. Bread and meat will be coming soon. Oh, yes, God is faithful. In the afternoons, I can see him up walking around drinking from the rippling brook, and the little children sing the song out in Oklahoma, the raven's wings went flap, flap, flap as down to the brook they flew. They carried meat and they carried bread like the Lord told them to. Well, amen, those ravens come in bringing bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of that rippling brook. But that was more than just water. The prattling song of that brook spoke of a faith in God. That somewhere in those hills, God was mindful of his prophet. He was sending life down by the rippling brook. As he heard that rippling brook singing, he knew God was aware of him and his needs. Here he lives a carefree life. I do not know exactly how long, but everything is going good. And there seems to be no problem. Amen. Ahab and his wicked rule. And all of the province of Israel is under the curse of sin and under the curse of God. But here is a man of God, amen, drinking out of a brook, eating bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. I don't know where he got that bread and meat. The ravens may have got it out of Ahab's smokehouse. I don't know. But they was bringing him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And the Bible said he drank out of that brook. But oh, brothers and sisters, as he listened to that brook, as it come out of the hills with its gentleness, singing its song of the loving care of God, everything was fine. But one day he woke to the startling fact that the brook is not running quite as swift today. And then there comes a day when he steps out and looks, and the brook that he had been drinking from had lost its song, and all he could see was hot burning sand where the water one time was at. And the Bible said it came to pass that the brook dried up. Why that brook dried up, I cannot tell you for sure. But be assured that it's not because God had forgotten Elijah. Be assured that God had not ceased to love Elijah. Be assured that God, amen, God did not let the brook run dry because Elijah had sinned. Neither did the brook go dry because Elijah was out of the will of God. But your brook may run long. It may sound beautifully. But brooks always dry up. The brooks of this world always dry up. So the Bible says it came to pass that the brook dried up. And I do not know whether you will agree with me or not. But I believe God lets our brooks dry up, lest we put our confidence in the brook rather than in the God of heaven who made the brook. Oh, yes, it would have been easy to get his confidence in the ravens and get his confidence in the brook. But, brother, instead of putting his confidence in the ravens and in the brook, Elijah's faith was in God who sent him there. And the Bible tells us that he began to seek God for further direction. Elijah did not blame God. He did not say, God, why did you let this brook dry up? He did not say, oh God, I don't understand. He accepted the fact that the blessing that he one time had was gone. Oh, your brook will dry up. You may have one time been strong and healthy, but there'll be a day when your strength will be gone. I can remember, Brother Gary, if they wanted me to preach once a day, fine. Twice a day, fine. Three times a day, fine. It didn't matter to me. Four times a day, I have preached as high as six times in one day and was still going strong. But I must be honest, that old brook is not running quite as swift as it one time ran. But I would like to tell you that even though my brook is not as swift as it one time was, my God is still the same God that called me to preach the word. He's the same God that saved me. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You may have one time had a bank account and sickness came and turned your bank account into poverty and dry sand. You may have one time been a spiritual warrior for the Lord and the joys of the Lord flowed so freely in your soul. You may have one time could have feel the great Holy Ghost power, and because of some bitter experience in your life or in the church or with some of your family or some of your association, tonight that brook has dried up. But once again, I assure you that God does not love you less because that brook is dried up. God wants you to seek His face for further direction. Oh, I know, you see, I've been having great revival. Souls praying around the altars nearly every night, late into the night. Glory of the Lord falling. Look like Holy Ghost power would be there moving forever. Then walk in some night and the brook has dried up. Only preachers will understand this one. But some of the texts that I preach, I've been preaching some of them for 25, 30 years. And I've got a few favorites that I can get anointed on. Amen. Just about every time that I get up and take that text. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It hardly ever fails. But there has been times when I've got up and took that familiar text that I know I was going to preach heaven high, only to find that the brook had run dry. The song that you've sang over the years, amen, that has blessed hundreds, that brook will eventually go dry. But don't you blame God if your brook goes dry. Some of you, when you stood out at the cemetery, and one good brother came to me yesterday and said, "Oh, Brother Rich, just a few days ago, I put away the dearest thing in my life." Amen. My wife, I put her away. I believe he told me yesterday was 7 or 8 days past since he had put her away. He probably felt like his brook has gone completely dry. But let me tell you, when your brooks go dry, don't blame God. For you see, Job's brook went dry. He lost everything that he had. Every cow, every ox, every sheep that he had, he lost it, brother. Amen. Every camel was gone. Amen. His fields and his crops were taken away. And even his sons and his daughters that he loved so much was carried away in a whirlwind. But when Job looked at his dried up brook, oh, he had a reaction that I'd like to have. The Bible said he worshiped the Lord and said, "Naked I came out of the womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The man or the woman that can stand at their dried up brook and lift their hands and say, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord," is a man that's mighty close to the glory and the heart of God. Listen to me. I know a woman who shared with me her dried up brook experience. This woman was 19 years old At the time, she was engaged to be married to a pilot in World War II. She had her arrangements made, date set, waiting for that day when he would be released from the armed services and become her husband. Her plans had been made, and some of the things were accumulated that all to be brides like to accumulate. And then one day, the news came that her fiancé had been killed in battle. This woman did not blame God. She did not say, God, why did you do this to me? But she sought the Lord for further direction. And because this woman's brook went dry, hundreds, I dare say even thousands, will stand in the heavenly world. Little Mexican people and little Kuna Indians, and say, thank God you dried up Sister Gail Myers' brook, and now we are saved because that brook went dry. Listen. What would have happened if the brook had kept flowing? I'll tell you the tragedy. It would have been a tragedy for Elijah had the brook kept flowing. Had the brook not dried up, it could have been the ruin of Elijah. Had the brook not dried up, it could have robbed him of his faith and killed his usefulness with God. But because the brook dried up, Elijah began to seek the Lord. And God gave him further direction and said, I want you to leave here now. Don't sit by your dried up brook and pine away. Don't sit here and let your soul dry up by this dried up brook. There is another blessing for you somewhere. There is sustenance for you somewhere, Elijah. Don't sit here by your dried up brook. Elijah, I want you to go to the city of Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. What Elijah didn't know at the hem of that widow woman's garments was a starving child reaching to his mother for a few morsels of bread. But when Elijah arrived at the gate of that city, a little woman appeared on the scene, frail no doubt, suffering from malnutrition. Her brook is almost dry. Inside her home, she has a starving son. And Elijah says to this woman, bring me or fetch me a little water. And as she went to get that water, Brother Harley, he called to her and said, bring me a little cake also. And she said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is no cake in that house. All there is a handful of meal in a barrel and a little bit of oil in a cruse. I've got a son that's starving in there. And I'm going to go in and make my last cake. And then we're going to eat it and die. But the man of God, who knew that God was a God who did not look at dried up brooks, who did not look at circumstances such as empty meal barrels and empty oil cruses. He said, bring me a little cake first. Oh, hallelujah. Bring me a little cake first. She went into that house. I can see her, my brother, as she reaches in that meal barrel, takes out that last grain of meal. You'll never know what God can do till your last grain of meal is gone. You'll never know what God can do until your last drop of oil is gone. Oh, yes. She took out her last handful of meal, the last grain. Took that oil cruse and shook out every drop of it and started making a cake. I can see that starving child, maybe just at a talking age, I do not know, saying, "Mama, hurry, I'm so hungry." But I can hear her say, "Well, now, son, this cake here is not for you. This one is for the man of God. But just as soon as I feed him, I'm going to come back and make another cake. And you and I are going to eat that one." For the Bible said she took that cake out to the man of God. She came back by faith and reached into that empty meal barrel. And what do you know? God had put another handful of meal back in. She took that empty oil cruse and God had put oil in. Not only did Elijah's brook, dried up brook, enrich his life, but he became the blessing to others that were dying. Oh, you don't understand what I'm preaching yet, but I'm telling you, your brooks are going to dry up. You may be sitting by a dried up brook tonight, but if you are, don't forget, not only does God give, but God also takes away. And if you can stand by your dried up brook and faith in God, lift your hands and say, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, the Bible tells us that that woman and her son not only was sustained that day, but for the duration of that drought, oh, amen, every day there was a supply of meal in that barrel. And there was oil in the cruse. Dries up, keep your faith in God. Y'all looking at me like I was preaching a strange doctrine. Hallelujah. Now I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm not much of a singer, but I'll sing with you if you want me to sing. I'll pray with you if you want me to pray. If you want to hear my testimony, I'll give it. If you want to hear me preach, I'll try to preach to you. But one thing I refuse to do is to sit down with you by your dried up brook and pine away until my soul is dried up and there's no victory or no glory or no faith in the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Brooks dry up. Amen. Sometimes pastors, brooks dry up. Sometimes, Brother Horton, brooks dry up. But there's a reason for the dried up brook. A little farther up the road. Amen. There is another blessing. A little further up the road, you'll run into the goodness of God again. A little farther up the road, God will reveal himself to you. Oh, yes. Had the brook kept flowing, Elijah would have never known, amen, the miracle of the empty meal barrel nor the cruse of oil. Had that brook kept flowing, oh, yes, Elijah, oh, he had been fed by ravens, but he would have never been fed by an angel had the brook kept on flowing. And it may be a miracle for a raven to bring you bread and meat, but when you're laying under a juniper tree, discouraged and downhearted, and an angel from heaven visits you and wakes you out of your sleep and brings heavenly manna, angel's food to you, that is a miracle. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Woo. Had the brook kept on flowing, had the brook kept on flowing, those wicked prophets of Baal would have kept up deceiving the people through idolatry. Had the brook kept on flowing, those wicked prophets would have never been slain, nor the groves cut down, nor the idols destroyed. Had the brook kept on flowing, Elijah would have never seen the fire fall from heaven down on the altar and consume the sacrifice. Had the brook kept on flowing, amen, had it kept on flowing, there would have never been a successor, amen, such as Elisha to take the place of Elijah. That's for somebody here tonight. I said, that one is for somebody here tonight. Had that brook kept on flowing, there would never have been a successor to take the place of Elijah. Amen. Had that brook kept on flowing. Woo. Thank God for the dried up brooks. The Lord gave, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sister Richard back there somewhere going to do something that always embarrasses her. Sister Rich, would you come here for a moment? Been married to her 34 years. Amen. Good while. And Sister Rich and I had been married for a while, had 3 children. And one day, I heard her let out a scream upstairs like I'd never heard before. And I rushed up there to see what was wrong because I'd never heard her in all these years scream like that. And there, in her hands, she held a lifeless child. And her brook dried up. I said, her brook dried up. Her brook dried up. I looked at her and I'll never forget the strain on her face. She looked at me and could not speak a word, but standing there by her dried up brook. You have to go through something like this to understand something like this. And as I stood by her side, I tried to comfort her, but my words was on deaf and ears. And finally, we went through all the procedures we had to go through with this child. And my wife sat down by her dried up brook. Sat down by her brook. I tried to comfort her, but all of my words couldn't comfort her. She may have a different testimony, but I've always been pretty good to her. But I was extra good to her at that particular time. But all of my words could not suffice for the dried up brook in her life. I spoke to the ladies in the church as Sister Rich pulled in her shell. Wouldn't have much to do with anyone. I said, please help me, my wife. She's going through such a trial. Would somebody, some of you ladies, please give her some special attention. And oh, they were so good. And some of them would come to the house. Some even helped her with her work. But nothing they could say seemed to suffice for the brook that was dried up. But one night she woke me up in the night and said, honey, wake up. I said, what is it? Did the Lord's touch me? I come awake. I said, turn on the light. I said, what is it? And I seen her brook was flowing again. She said, honey, I just had the most glorious dream. God let me see right into heaven. And Jesus had my little baby in his arms. Said he looked right at me and said, don't you. The baby looked right at me and said, Mama, don't you worry about me anymore. I'm happy right here where I'm at. Well, because of that dried up brook, I have more to go to heaven for than I've ever had in my life. I've got more to serve God in the beauty of holiness for than I've ever had in my life. So I stand by my dried up brook tonight and I say the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then, sitting right back there, was a little girl. It's 18, be 18 years old her next birthday. A little black-headed girl that her mother wanted me to have. Because she said, I can't give her the kind of life that she needs. And maybe, as I listen to you preach over the radio, maybe you can see that she'll have a better life than the life that I live. And maybe she can be a Christian like you and your wife. And so, a little black-headed Tanya, stand up, Tanya, wherever you're at. Stand up right back there. Amen. You want to come up here so everybody can see you? Come on here. Oh, brother. 1 month old. Amen. I brought that baby home, took a deacon with me and a lawyer's papers, giving me the right to take the baby temporarily. I brought that baby home, little black-headed girl. Amen. 1 month old. Placed her in the arms of my wife and a new brook started flowing. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Tanya is not doing as good as she needs to do, but honey, you're here because of a brook that dried up in your mama's life. That's why you're here. You better take advantage of that opportunity afforded to you. Holy! 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 The Lord gave! The Lord gave! And the Lord had taken away. Blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I gotta hurry and find a place to close. But oh, her brook. Do me a favor, my brother. Hallelujah. Had that brook kept on flowing, this little girl wouldn't be in a Christian home. She wouldn't be in this camp meeting tonight. She wouldn't be exposed to men like Brother Ralph Horton and Brother C.M. Butler and all of you good preachers. Had that brook kept flowing, I say thank God for the dried up brook. And Tanya, can I talk to my own daughter? Tanya, this is your opportunity to know that the God of heaven dried up a brook for you that you might have a heritage and an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Don't pass it off lightly. God dried up a brook for you. Can be seated. Oh, God. Glory. Was it not John the Baptist who said in St. John 1:34, I saw and bear record that this man on whom that dove landed, amen, was the Son of God? He said, I bear record that that was the one. But when John started preaching holiness, and told that wicked king Herod that it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife, they put him into prison. And you'd think anyone, thank you, brother, he said it's still unlawful. And I say amen.
But you would think with a man with a witness like that, Brother Shaw, who actually embraced the Son of God, who took him down to the water and baptized him in the water, and saw the Holy Ghost descending in the form of a dove, and heard a voice out of heaven as God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You'd have thought his brook would have flowed no matter what. But in the prison house, he looked, and that rippling, prattling brook, that popularity that he had out by the river of Jordan when he was baptizing, all of it was gone. And here he is in prison. And he says to his disciples, "Come here. I want you to go and inquire of this one man, Jesus. And I want you to ask him, is he the one that should come? Or should we look for another?" Now, brother, his brook was dry. But if you'll read in Matthew, the 11th chapter, when Jesus got the word, he said, "You go shoo John again." Amen. Go tell him one more time. Show it to him one more time that the blind are receiving their sight. Amen. The lame are walking. The lepers are being cleansed. Amen. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he that is not offended in me. What Jesus was saying, you tell John, just because his brook has went dry, it has not stopped the program of God. I'm still doing what the Father sent me to do, opening blinded eyes, unstopping deaf ears, raising the dead, healing the sick. And just because your brook is dry tonight doesn't mean that God is not still concerned. And so Elijah, I don't have time to go into this part. I wish I did have time. But Elijah passed through the field where Elisha was plowing. And he took that old mantle. The Bible doesn't say he said anything at all. Just sort of let it touch Elisha. When he did, the man turned around and said, "Wait just a minute. Let me go kiss mom and daddy goodbye. And I'll follow you." Hallelujah. He went home and someone said he burnt the plow, killed the cow. Amen. And the Bible did say he did those very things. Kiss mom and daddy goodbye. I believe the reason he did that, he wasn't planning on ever returning to the plowboy occupation again. Amen. He was going to go with the man of God. As he went on with the man of God, he saw mighty miracles. I do not have time to get into. But he saw miracle after miracle. Finally followed Elijah clear down to the river of Jordan. And there, he saw the man of God take that old mantle and smite the waters. And they went across on dry ground. A little bit later, amen, he saw something he would not have seen. Even Elijah would not have seen it had his brook not dried up. He saw a chariot coming. Amen. A chariot on fire. Pulled by horses on fire. He heard and saw a whirlwind that picked him up and set him in the seat of that chariot. Carried him all the way into the heavenly world. And if I had time, I can biblically prove that he got there. Amen. But here stands Elisha looking. He's gone. My brook. See, Elisha never had did a miracle, not one. All he did was pour water on the hands of the man of God and watch the man of God as he performed the mighty miracle working power of God through the power of God. But there was one thing he noticed coming out of the heavenly world was that old mantle that had been wrapped around the shoulders of the man of God. Now, wait a minute, Elisha, your brook's done dry. And there's the sons of the prophets over there watching you sit by your dried up brook. That brook's done gone dry, but maybe I could get me another brook flowing. He walks over and picks up the old mantle that some of our modernistic preachers would not want. Yeah, they wouldn't want that one. If they got it, they'd want to take the sleeves out of it. They want to cut a low neckline, plunging neckline in it. They want to hem it up 3 or 4 inches. They'd want to split it up the side or up the back. But Elisha saw it work just like it was. So he took that same old mantle and walked back down to the river of Jordan with the sons of the prophets viewing him, and took that mantle and smote the water and cried, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He didn't say, "Where's Elijah?" He said, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" You see, Elisha's faith was not in Elijah. His faith was in the God that Elijah was following. Do you see it? Do you see it? Got to close. And even the sons of the prophets, yeah, they witnessed that the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And then, had that brook kept flowing, even in the time of that drought, a man of God said, "I hear the sound of an abundance of rain." Oh, maybe your brook's dried up tonight, but by faith listen, and you can hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Maybe you're backslid tonight. Some bitter experiences made you pull back from the holiness people. And I'm going to be the first to confess, holiness people, as good as they are, have not always done everything right. That's right. I still say they're the cleanest living people on the face of the earth. I know they are. But there are some things that we have done wrong. And maybe you have been the victim of one of those bitter experiences. And tonight you're sitting down by your dried up brook, and you're pining away, and your soul is dying within you. And what inspiration you used to have, it's gone. But could I tell you, take a step forward toward God, and you'll find that somewhere there's a reason why your brook went dry. Oh, preachers, listen to me. Amen. Just because you suffer a bitter experience sometime at the hands of what seems like merciless people, don't think that God did you wrong. Don't you blame God for any experience in your life. You say, "Well, Brother Rich, I've had so many bitter experiences." Think how bitter Elijah's experience could have been had he not kept his faith in God. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples, "Have faith in God"? In closing, you may have had a beautiful experience. Joy flowed like a river one time in your soul. But you're backslid tonight if you just admit it. See, that's why people backslide. They sit by dried up brooks. You hear me? That's why they backslide. They sit by dried up brooks instead of going on to another experience in the Lord. I'm preaching several camp meetings this year, but I'm not going to be able to keep up this pace. But God's already opening up more brooks for me. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to keep my faith in God. Hallelujah. How many will just be honest and say, "Brother Rich, there's been a dried up brook experience in my life"? Could I see your hands? How many would be honest now and say, "Brother Rich, my problem is I still am sitting by the dried up brook. There's one or the other. There's another one. Are there others? You'd say, preacher man, I'm still sitting by my dried up brook. Is there another hand lifted? I told you this was a strange message. But had that brook kept flowing, Elijah would have became at ease in Zion. And if your brook keeps on flowing, you'll never seek God like you should. You'll never bend your knees in the midnight hour as long as your brook is flowing. It's when our brooks dry up, then we see our need and the necessity in our lives of a God that can sustain us. Let us stand our feet. The Lord wanted me to deliver this message tonight for somebody in this congregation whose brook has dried up. I don't know how long I've preached. I'm sorry I've preached so long if I've preached lengthy. But oh, Brother Travis, I could have stopped years ago by a dried up brook and stayed right there. Thank God I didn't. Amen. The devil tried to discourage me several years ago in my ministry. Had I stayed by that dried up brook, then that man that ran out to me when I drove on the grounds here Saturday and said, Brother Rich, I got saved three years ago or so when you was here. And I want you to know I'm still in and still living for God. Amen. He might not have had that testimony had I stayed by my dried up brook. Several others out there through my weak efforts have been blessed and saved and sanctified. I didn't do it, but God did. And oh, tonight, if you're sitting by a dried up brook, we need a universal move toward another place in God where the blessings will flow afresh and anew in our lives. How many needs a refreshing? Ho, ho. Glory to God. How many's been sitting? Already asked this once, but some of you that were sitting there didn't raise your hand. But how many's been sitting by dried up brook? Hallelujah. 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 Yes, I see those hands. Stay with me, church. Stay with me for just a moment. God is speaking. God is working. God is talking. Oh, yes. Sometimes God has to let brooks dry up before sinners will ever seek God. Some of them are hurt in automobile accidents. Some are injured different ways. But God lets it happen. So they're brooks. So they'll move on and seek the face of God. Are you here tonight and you're not saved? Would you raise your hand for prayer while every head's bowed for just a moment? Would you lift your hand for prayer while every head's bowed? Say, Brother Rich, I need help tonight. Raise that hand quickly. You're not a Christian. Yes, I see those hands. I know those people that was lifting their hands are probably saved, but there's some here that are not saved tonight. Maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you thought the world would never turn again for you. You'd say, preacher man, I'm the one that you're talking to tonight. Raise that hand quickly. Yes, I see that hand. God will help you.
It's just on credit. There's no guarantee on life.
Holy.
You could be gone in a moment.
Glory.
When your time comes to die, we also
Hallelujah.
That Christ is coming.
Come right on.
And if you're left behind, I'll wish for a little.
Come right on. Here's a man that needs God tonight. There's others here.
There's still time.
How about it, buddy? Come on right now. How about you, lady? Now let me tell you something. Those that need experiences in God need to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't you wait no other to a later date. Tonight can be your night. My brother, would you put up the folding chairs and let's make room around this altar for souls to seek the Lord.
If you only knew His plan for you, you would wait.
That's right. Everyone that feels like you've been sitting too long by your dried up brook, come on now. Come on right now. Come on right now. I know this message is right. I know it was right for this service. That's right, lady. That's right, mister. You're doing the right thing. Right here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just kneel down. That's... Oh, God.
You love so much.
Couple of you good sisters, come
right here. The time is
just wait now. Let's don't rush things.
So
God's still speaking to souls out there.
That tender voice, He's calling to your heart.
Come on, backslider. Come on, sinner. All right, those that want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, move in here quickly into this altar now. Come in the name of Jesus. We got souls here seeking the Lord for salvation. We got souls here needing help from God. Everyone that will and can, feel free, my brothers and sisters, to come right up on the platform for prayer. Come on and let's seek God.
Borderline. If you